You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Conkro, give it to Henry. Henry is going to try to get to the goal line and does. Touchdown. Pickett to the end zone. Touchdown. And there it was. Deontay Johnson finally gets into the end zone. Levis steps up, fires, and it's picked off. Quan Alexander cements it.
Quan Alexander finishes it off for the Steelers. You knew they had to win tonight, 20-16. The moment I booked Dave Damashek, who helped birth this podcast, by helping Dan and Mark out and putting them on the back of his podcast, the old Dave Damashek football program, I knew something magical would happen with the Steelers, that they would look like the inferior team for most of the game, and then they would have a game-winning drive. And because that's what the Steelers do. They are 5-3. And yes, my guest is Dave Damashek, the host of the Minus 3 podcast with our old friend Eddie Spaghetti. Kevin Hench is on there. Dave Damashek. I was glad. I thought it'd be fun podcasting if we had an angry Sheck with a loss, but I'm happy to see my friend happy.
I appreciate that. You're looking well, the boss, back from your European swing, you and the fellas. Glad that went well for you. Glad even more that the Pittsburgh Steelers survived another knuckleball game. It is remarkable. It really is. The other side of the equation is that that's what the Steelers do to everybody, no matter how good or bad they are, every game. As you always have to just understand that what Mike Tomlin wants, whether you like it or not, even in the year of the Lord 2023, his goal isn't to just win. It's to win every game 12-11. And that results in ugly ball on both sides of things. So, listen, they survived again. So be it.
And you know what? I think they survived in a more replicable way that should give the Steelers fans a little bit of optimism. That last interception by Quan Alexander in there partly because Cole Holcomb gets hurt. You're without Minka Fitzpatrick. So you got some holes here in the secondary. You don't totally trust your quarterback, Kenny Pickett. We'll get to all that. We'll start really talking about the Steelers. And then, yes, Titans fans who do want to listen to this. We'll get to Will Levis because I think big picture-wise, Will Levis – is probably the biggest story in this game. I think we've met a gentleman the last 2 weeks who's now going to be part of our lives, I believe, for many years to come. So that's always interesting. But the Steelers are the team in position for the playoffs. And I would say, and I've watched every Steelers game, that this was probably their best offensive game of the season. That they had a 10.
Imagine that.
I mean,
that's wild.
They had a 10-play drive to start the game for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That was nice. They had three other drives, 10 plays or more. And when they got the ball back with about 9 minutes to go, I thought the way they run offense, look, their best chance to win might be to go run an eight, you know, have an 8-minute drive. They can't go down the field. They don't really trust Pickett. Once it gets in long yardage, they seem like they're in trouble. But at least they were running the ball. They were setting themselves up. And when they needed Pickett to make one big throw at the end of the game, he did it. He dropped it in the bucket to Deontay Johnson, who made a really nice catch along the sidelines. That was on a third and long. That was part of their 94-yard touchdown drive to take the lead. And then they didn't let Pickett throw the ball again the rest of the game, essentially. And it worked. It's remarkable how this formula seems to work for them. But I have seen since the bye Pickett playing at a reasonable level. Maybe not even as good as he was as a rookie, but at a level where you have a chance to win. I wasn't seeing that the first 5 weeks. The first five weeks felt like a mirage. Now he at least looks competent enough that it's something to build off.
Well, you know, old news. And in fact, you are the one who sort of responded to my cynicism 5, 6, 7 years ago when it was starting to set up that, you know, guy at the QB at the end of his rookie contract, you got to shell out 40. Then I guess it was 35 million, 40 million. And how a shame the devil you can't give that to Matt Ryan. And you pointed out, hey, you know, they are raising that cap to accommodate those quarterbacks, but there is sort of a ebb and flow to it. And it does every year or three kind of catch up with teams like, we can't afford this guy who ain't worth the 40 or 50 million. So sorry for that setup, because that's not where the Steelers are. They're in the sweet spot. Year two of their rookie QB. I mean, of their youngster QB. Well, not that young. He's mid 20s. but either way, you know, the oddity is, as you say, all they need theoretically, given that this is supposed to be a defense dominant team, the offensive line, that's been the big disappointment to me 8 games through in 9 weeks, is I thought that the offensive line was going to be collectively a position of strength, and it hasn't really been that. That's been, I mean, all the Matt Canada stuff overstated in my opinion. And you know, I thought Kenny Pickett was going to be the steady hand, you know, take care of the ball and all that, classic game manager. But the thing that has plagued him all season long, and I'm sure you've observed it, is he misses wide open throws.
And he did it
what's
tonight.
Damning is they're right. I mean, they are, the throws he misses all season long are directly over the line of scrimmage, about 10 yards depth. It's what, do you not see it? He's either late or just flat out misses it. And yet he does the most remarkable thing in sports. We always talk about clutch and whether clutch exists. And in fact, clutch is maintaining your level when it gets hottest. Kenny Pickett does the opposite. He is the bizarro Clayton Kershaw who goes high level all season, and then when the playoffs start, it's a diminished version of the stud pitcher. Kenny Pickett somehow actually plays better in the fourth quarter. What gives? I have no explanation. I guess
I don't know if it's going to keep up forever. The numbers support you. They showed it. I always watch. This is the most football hipster thing about me, or maybe not the most. You would say I was one. I love the Next Gen Stats Prime Vision cast. Me and the boy watch it, and it's beautiful. And they show the numbers for Pickett, but the first three quarters and the fourth quarter this year, last year, it's all actually true. He's second in the NFL in fourth quarter or overtime comebacks over the last 2 years too, and that's with Kirk Cousins in first place, not two guys who you think coming up big, but he does have the knack for it. Part of it is that they're always trailing and right. They have a chance to go win a game, and they're always in one score games. But you're right. He missed throws early in this game. There was one to Pickens, which killed the drive, that was on a third and 8, goes right over his head. There was one early to Deontay Johnson, just sails right over his head. There was a dirt ball at one point. And he even said in the post game interview with Amazon, he was really pissed off at himself. And he said, excuse me for my language. I was like, you don't need to say excuse me for pissed off. That's too much.
He's keeping it classy. That's the way he does it. And the other one that he missed too was he had Connor Hayward, to my earlier point, wide open at the goal line directly in what would look to be his line of sight, and just doesn't even look at him.
He's got an issue. You know, one of my guests on this program, JP Acosta, a young writer who was with SB Nation, pointed out his spray chart tonight where he's throwing the ball. And he's like, this is a high school offense. He can't go anything over the middle. In high school, it's counterintuitive, but everything's on the boundary because that's where they can see better, even though it's further to throw it. And teams play the Steelers in a certain way. They play backed up. They play zone. Mm-hmm. And they just try to prevent the long ball and the back shoulder throws because that's what he's good at. That's like the one thing they're good at. Now that Deontay Johnson is healthy, that it gives them something else they can maybe be good at. It's not just that. That's what George Pickens is good at. But at a certain point, Kenny Pickett's going to need to be better than just those throws. But tonight, he got it done. And the reason I say they had the best-looking offense is definitely the best game running the ball all game. Mm-hmm. And you said you're disappointed with the offensive line. But they protected Pickett well tonight, and they ran the ball well tonight. So tonight was a nice night for their offensive line.
I completely agree with that, and it does feel like they're starting to turn the corner, slow going as it is. I mean, as I said earlier, too, I get the Canada concerns. I see the limitations and all of that. It's now crossed the line into being groupthink nonsense. It's just the abject job. It's not Matt Canada's fault that Kenny Pickett is missing wide open guys.
But what about the fact he's on the sideline tonight and then suddenly everything looks better? Matt Canada on the sideline, he's a totally different guy.
Yeah, right. What do you think that was about? Accountability? You think that's some old Coach T thing like, Matt, you're gonna have to look him in the eyes when you. I mean, I don't know what the notion was. Listen,
I think just things aren't working, and so it worked. And try something different. That's
all. Here's a little sunshine for you, and you know me well enough to know that I'm not optimistic about any of the teams that I root for. And
but yet you always pick the Steelers' record right. What was your prediction before this season? You're always like one game or right on.
I've never been more than a game off. And as you may recall, six straight years, I hit it on the nose. I went with 11-6 this year. And I think that's exactly where they're going to wind up.
And they might. I mean, that's the thing. They've played poorly. Sorry to cut you off. They've played poorly and they've gotten to 5-3. Yeah, our friend Mark Sessler said all offseason they're winning 12 games. So he won up to you. I mean, at some point, a team that looks bad and is 4-3 usually ends up starting to play better, and then they'll win more games. And that's what I'm frightened.
Well, I mean, I think the thing that specifically with this game and all the hand-wringing again on the banks of the Three Rivers, I don't know if Football America is obsessing over the nitty-gritty with personnel on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you know, a lot of concern about why isn't Broderick Jones, the first-round draft pick, getting the shot over Chooks on the right side, which he did tonight on Thursday Night Football, or Dan Moore. People are indifferent about which tackle he replaces. Just, dude, you got to put in Broderick Jones. You got to put him in there, dude. He's a first-round pick. JPJ, how come he's not playing? Well, you see why when you watch a game like this. You have to fuel the plane at 30,000 feet. You want the high pedigree specimens on the field, of course, but on the other hand, then they make rookie plays like JPJ made a handful of times. I also think Nuke Hopkins really
JPJ being Joey Porter Jr.
I'm sorry, yes, I was working short.
I even had to think about it for a second. We, you know, we're
I'm like
not
one
all,
of those people who
we're
follows
not all deep
who likes
on
a band
Steelers
and just refers
Reddit.
To just refer to band members by their first name like they're my friends. You see, when Jerry was when he was jamming during space, like, you know, drums, man, Bob was he was grooving with, like, you know, like, who are you talking about? Are these your friends in the garage? No, I was talking about the big show. Anyway, yes, Joey Porter Jr. is coming on, but made a couple of boneheaded plays. Broderick Jones really set the Titans up in a great spot at midfield, essentially, with taking his helmet off on the field. So, you know, fits and starts as far as that goes. I will say optimistically, at this point, you would like to think Joey Porter Jr. becomes a bigger factor, not less. You would like to think Broderick Jones becomes a position of strength for you out there the rest of the way. And I really do think, and, you know, we can talk about Kyle Shanahan's offense and the fungibility of receivers and otherwise, but the Steelers need to have George Pickens and Deontay Johnson on the field, or they're kind of going to be a high school offense. I mean, that's just the fact.
Yeah.
Not, oh, George Pickens is down for four. Deontay Johnson's going to miss the next four games when he got hurt in week one. I knew that they were going to be bonking their heads on the ceilings for the next month when you don't have one of those two guys. They're just not at that place roster-wise or even philosophically.
Or they can't
to take advantage
keep
of
them out. They don't have an offense that can make up for it. Even if Canada's not as bad as everyone thinks, like, you're absolutely right. I thought that too, because Deontay Johnson, if I had to choose just one, as great as Pickens is at this point in their careers, just to help Kenny Pickett along in this offense, like Deontay Johnson is probably more valuable because he's going to create more first downs ultimately than Pickens, who, you know, cost the Steelers 4 points tonight on a nice throw from Pickett just by not getting his foot
down.
That
was wild. That was weird. But did you see the Deontay Johnson? I mean, he didn't cross paths directly or did? No, yeah, no. Antonio Brown was long gone by the time. But he gave the AB special on that deep shot up the right sideline on the game-winning drive. Just as the ball's about to get there, little ghost push. Ref can't flag that one when you short-arm the DB to create just enough space. I got a little deja vu.
I think he's an underrated. He's a great player. He had gotten 771 snaps without a touchdown. The Titans sort of dared the Steelers to run all night. They were pointing that out on Next Gen Stats. I try to give them credit. Sam Schwartzstein, I believe, is his name, saying that they play with the lightest box in the league, like six guys in the box, and they did it the whole night. At like no point were they ever afraid of the Steelers running. They thought, we're bigger and stronger than you. We're going to be able to stop your lame running attack. And it has been pretty lame all season, and have extra guys on the back end. But it didn't work because Najee Harris ran pretty well. It was more about the holes to me, but he still broke a few tackles. And then Jaylen Warren is a dynamic player. He's one of your three best offensive players in my mind, along with the two wide receivers. He had 88 rushing yards. He had 25 yards receiving, and he made that touchdown in the last drive really happen with just like a special run. That's what you need. It's what the Patriots don't have, for instance. They have no special players who just make plays on their own. They rely on their coaches to do everything. On defense, you got some special players, though, and Alex Highsmith, I'm not going to say he's playing better than TJ Watt. Watt's the defensive player of the year candidate, but tonight he did. He had 5 quarterback hits. He had 8 pressures. Next Gen Stats says he's got 4 games with at least 7 pressures. The only person in the league, I believe, that has that is Myles Garrett, I think, other than him. So that's he's very consistent. He's very good. And him and Watt were bigger difference makers than any of the Titans defenders. And
that's true. They were kind of upside down almost in the way that the game typically flows, which is the TJ Watt comes on as the game goes on and wears down
he was relatively quiet. He still had a sack and some pressure.
In the first quarter, yes. I thought, if he is getting off like this in quarter one and this many O-linemen on the Titans are going over to the sidelines, I don't know who's going to be left to try and stop one of the 5 best non-quarterbacks in football the rest of the night. But yeah, to your point, they swung help over against TJ Watt and they were moving him around, which I love to see that. But I mean, I do think, you know, it's easy to get swept up in. Boy, they are one ugly team. This team has no chance. And I'm not saying in 2023 that they're going to compete with the superhero quarterbacks come January, Chiefs or Bengals or any of those teams. But I do think that, you know, if you're looking at the pieces the last couple of years, DeMarvin Leal is not a name that most football fans are probably tracking too much, but he's a difference maker up front. They are starting to piece together, not guys that hold their own, but
Benton,
as you say,
Benton is a good young player.
Benton is a Nate Tice favorite. You can see already has a chance. Right.
He's
the
a good
concern is Pickett. That's the ceiling on them. It feels like, except for the fact that it's, you know, I talk about being jammed into this uncomfortable position of optimism with these Steelers, and I'm forced to because everybody else is so cynical. From local media there and the fan base doing its impression of Philadelphia Eagles fans and booing everybody and all that kind of stuff all the time is strange. But, I think Pickett is the guy who has a chance to, as you say, the premise is not carry this team. Josh Allen, the Steelers, to the playoffs, Kenny Pickett, take care of the ball, make a couple few special plays. And it's crazy how few of those he seems capable of making for at least 3 quarters, but he does have a knack of turning it on. And as far as that goes, so 5-3, and where are they in the standings? If you feel like this is a terrible team, an ugly game to watch, that's what they want to do, first of all. And secondly, they're in the playoff picture, and the only way really, in 2023, with very few exceptions, the Eagles fan is feeling good right now, right?
Sure.
The Dolphins for this week, fan.
Unless they lose Sunday night.
When are we going to talk about the fact that you are exactly like Mike McDaniel? You kind of look like him. No offense to Mike McDaniel, but you're a slightly more attractive version of him. Wow. Maybe we got to put you in the glasses. But, you know, your vibe. You've got that subtle sense of humor and everything. I think that this is a compliment to you and to Mike McDaniel. There are no losers in this equation, but I mean, so Dolphins fans are happy. Texans fans are probably feeling good because they feel like, well, we got our guy and we know that we're going to be good and brighter days are ahead. And maybe now Titans fans feel that way about Levis. But after that, who's happy right now? You know, who Chiefs fans? Probably not. They know that that team hasn't played very well. And I'm
no, there's
down
a lot of grumbling.
There.
There's not a lot of enjoying the moment and not a lot of enjoying the where you're at. It's just whatever happened last week. So the Bengals fans are happy.
Okay, now that's turned a corner. Yeah, I mean, there just isn't as much splash, obviously. Empirically, that's true, but statistically, it bears out, too, with point totals this season and otherwise. But, you know, the thing about these knuckleball Steelers is that remains true, that to finish the point is, okay, Mitchell Trubisky, the Jags are a good team, and the Steelers once again turned that thing into a knuckleball last Sunday, and I don't know what would have happened if it would have been Pickett instead of Trubisky with his magic fourth quarter powers. It was a one-score game. How do we know he wouldn't have done exactly what he's done every other time he's been put in that spot? In a close game, he tends to win it. They either get whipped once, two, three times a year lately. They get annihilated by and outclassed. Otherwise, every game is somewhere around 13-12.
I mean, they're 5-3. If they were in the NFC, like, they're better than any of the 7-seed candidates. It's going to be tougher to be the 7-seed in the AFC, but they're probably they're about as likely as anyone. If I had to choose one today, they would probably be my 7th team. Is that right? Yeah, they would be.
Well, yeah, they would count them up. You count them up four divisions.
I'm counting Dolphins and Bills. They're both in.
Right.
I'm counting who's ahead in the division right now. I'm counting Ravens and Bengals, and then I'd put the Steelers because here's who's coming up for the Steelers. You finish with a tough three games: Bengals,
right.
Seahawks, Ravens. That's going to be tough. But before that, you have Packers, Browns, Bengals, or it's at Bengals, Cardinals, Patriots, Colts. Those are a lot of winnable games, and I think they're going to get better. The one thing they got to do, and then we're going to take a break quickly, and then talk Titans. Dan was right. He said, oh, it's you and Sheck. This is going to be a honk fest. He was like putting the over under, you know, way higher than our TNF average. The last thing I'll say, though, is to get to the playoffs, or at least to even be a reasonable threat to win that first playoff game. They can't be a team that when they get the ball back with 2:06 to go and the other team has three timeouts, just calls, you know, loses two on their first run and calls two more runs anyways. They just say, like, we don't even trust our quarterback to throw the ball one time. It's just Mike Tomlin is great, but he's one of the last coaches that'll ever be dragged into the 21st century in terms of, like, going for it on fourth down or making aggressive decisions like that. But he was better when he had been a real quarterback. At some point, they will have to make decisions like throw the ball and not just decide,
let's give
the Titans a whole other drive and a chance to go win the game. And let's not even try to play football here because we're so afraid of Kenny Pickett. And
I think the call there on third, first of all, they have thrown in a similar spot this year, which
actually
surprised
me. Well, they could have thrown on first down too because it was like you would have had the 2-minute warning. I fully expected them to run the ball three times and punt there. And it was like you weren't even burning all the Titans timeouts. They still would have had one. So I'm just saying,
well,
to grow
the play
up
there
to a
in the
real
middle
team,
of the field,
you got to throw the ball there.
At right, I agree with you. But of course, at midfield, third, 9, third and 10, whatever it was in that spot, there's no danger in not just throwing the ball, but taking a deep shot. You know,
yes.
If you get sacked, okay, you punt it away. Just, you know, take care of the ball. Make sure that there's not someone about the blind side you ate, and we'll be all right. And if you uncork it, throw it as far as you can, Ken. Throw it as far as you can, fella. If it gets picked at the, you know, at the 10, all right, it's a punt. So
right.
Fine.
He just wanted to get rid of the timeout, and it's like that's very – Mike Vrabel would have done the same thing. These two teams watching them are mirror images. We're going to take a quick break.
Wait. I just want to say this. I say
you're,
right now.
You're
the
still
two,
on after the break, Shaq.
I understand, but I
want
to say here and now. I want to challenge Hanzoos. I say we go 4.5 hours or shame the devil. I'll say you. Let's go till dawn. What do you think about that? All night. Me and the boss. Dream come true.
I mean, we'll keep talking even after we stop hitting record. We love to honk. All right, take a quick break. We'll get come back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we're back. I've, for the first time this season, actually... just gotten Emeka, my beautiful wife, to and my daughter Ellis are both peeking out of the main house. I'm in the garage, and they're just giving me a shush.
Oh no!
They're like, you are screaming and yelling. You're like the whole neighborhood can hear you. But I think this is just me getting.
Tomlin turns every game into a knuckleball. Damashek turns every conversation into a shout fest. Welcome to it.
I mean, I would anyways. Hansis is right. We won't spend as much time on the Titans, but I actually.
When you're going to talk about the Jets, don't you see Zach Wilson? Don't you see he's going to be our hero? He's going to carry us until we get to A-Rod.
Levis,
don't count us out of the playoff picture yet, boss.
Oh, no. No one is. No one is. Will Levis, he was the biggest story in this game to me just because he's new and I've seen the Steelers team and I think they're building. And I thought this Titans team. I never count them out because they're the Titans and they're 3-5. But I don't even count them out for the 7 seed either right now because I think they have something. I watched that first game and I thought, wow, he did some really next level things, not just those touchdown passes, but he was like getting to the second read. And when pressure was there, he was making good decisions. He was like getting rid of the ball. He was looking like a tough guy. Okay, let's see it again. Now he's got to be on a short week. He's going to be in Pittsburgh. He didn't have 2 weeks to prepare for Atlanta and he played as well or better. And you can point out a few missed throws in the second half and he got picked off there at the end when he's, you know, trying to make a play. He's got to try to go for the end zone there. And that was a nice play by Quan Alexander. But man, he looked like a dude. He looked like a dude that's just like, I'm going to be watching him play for the Titans most every week for the next 6 years, 8 years, however, whatever it turns out to be, he just looks like a dude because it doesn't seem too big for him. He's clearly talented at throwing the ball down the field and the game isn't going that fast. He's processing it all pretty quick, which I think was one of the big questions about him coming out of Kentucky. And he's obviously athletically very talented. So I could go through like which plays I loved, like the play where he threw it across his body and Hopkins actually dropped it, which was almost like, wow, why are you trying that pass? But it worked. It was a Mahomesian type pass, but also some just like regular old 3rd-and-9, like hole shots over a zone defense. He looks good. And I think
I know the weird arm angles and, you know, throwing across basically two yards behind the line of scrimmage all the way across the field from one sideline right. to the other or just about. Get your attention. But yeah, he just made some real good strong arm throws throughout the night. And the other thing we didn't even see tonight was him taking off, which he can do. He's a big physical runner, when he wants to be. You know, I've told you this before, and you've poo-pooed it. You've played skeptic to Damashek when I've claimed, unironically, I'm a QB whisperer. Now, listen, I can't be a draft guru because I can't analyze the left guard from the MAC team who might go in the fifth round. But with QBs, no one has a better track record than Damashek. Maybe he's good. Now, okay, I've had my misses. I had the late Ryan Mallett. That's the one you always point to. But I said, you can find it on social media, I suspect. I said 3 years ago, no, 2.5 years ago, I said, this guy at Kentucky who transferred from Penn State, Will Levis, is the real deal, and he's going to be dynamite in the NFL. So, I mean, I don't know that I'm right 2 games in, but he does look like the real deal. Here's the question.
All I know is you remember whatever slights anyone sends your way, even for a football take, like giving you grief about the late Ryan Mallett. Rest in peace.
Of course. Of course I do.
What
do you have? Like, I don't care what anybody says.
I don't remember. My brain is made of cheese. I don't know. I mean, I remember some of the football stuff, but
thank you for not condescending to me, because you could have put yourself in a better light by saying, like, I have better things to worry about, you petulant ass. You know, that's how you should be.
No, I mean, I'll certainly remember some slights, but it has to be real personal. It wouldn't be a football.
Have I ever slighted you?
No, not that I remember. You know, no? Damashek presents a tough exterior outside. He's a cuddly.
I am.
He's a cuddly
OG
guy.
Tough guy. That's for sure. That's how everybody knows me.
They've got a quarterback. They can't go back to Ryan Tannehill the rest of this season.
Is that Will Money, Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, or is that Dave Damashek? I can't tell the difference. Both rugged souls. That's right. I'm a tough. Of course. And, you know, it's funny because I've been saying since, February, March, April, what are the Titans doing holding on to Ryan Tannehill at this point? Maybe it was post-draft. But either way, to me, the guy who, instead of Sam Darnold, Kyle Shanahan should have gotten Ryan Tannehill. Do you imagine if you plug him in right now? That was when I assumed that Brock Purdy wasn't possibly going to be ready to go by week one. I mean, he had major arm surgery, we thought, but still, Tannehill is the solve, or would have been, for several teams. I don't know the state of his health right now, but if he had been 100% a week ago, do you suspect he would be on a contending team right now? Imagine him if you could have just said, if you're the Vikings, okay, we don't have Kirk. Come on up, Ryan Tannehill. They would have been just fine. In that NFC, I think they would have had a chance to chase a playoff spot.
They would have been the team, I think, that would have bothered maybe a fourth-round pick. And I think the Titans, if they had seen this first game from Levis, and then now certainly two, would have been
That's probably
ready
to
do it. The thing is, and it's a reminder, man, the preseason can be a lie. I mean, it so often is. But it can be a lie in the opposite direction, too, because I believe all the reporters and the way that Vrabel talked and the coaches. It wasn't just that Will Levis looked awful in the preseason. His training camp was reportedly awful. Like, he just, when he was in the joint practice, it was actually against the Vikings. So maybe they weren't too high on Tannehill. Maybe they saw something. I don't even know. That, like, he could barely operate what was going on. It was just, he wasn't ready for it. But you do kind of forget, well, that was 8 weeks ago, and training camp is only 4 weeks long, and he's had all that time in the building to continue to get better, and the regular season is just a totally different animal than being good in practice every day, too, at training camp. So who knows? Maybe he's stunk at practice the last couple of weeks, too. I don't even know, and he just knows how to play. But whatever it is, everyone said Malik Willis was out-dueling him every practice, practice after practice. And in the preseason, when we got to see it a little bit, like, oh, yeah, I mean, he's totally lost. And now, you know, he looks as good as any rookie over the last 2 years in terms of his first two starts.
Wouldn't that be funny if he ends up being the best of the bunch? It really is wild, the certitude that we provide. We give, you know, obviously Daniel Jeremiah. You remember him, right?
Yeah, he's the guy that said Darnold was the number one player in the draft.
Zinging him. You better be careful with yourself. I don't know. I don't know who outweighs who over there at the NFL at this point.
Oh, I think I know. I think it's the one on the NFL draft.
Well, then keep on flapping your gums. He'll make a call. I want the guy. I want the boss. He's out. I don't remember what we were talking. Yeah, that was a swing and a miss from DJ. I do remember having that conversation with him.
I feel bad now, you know. I do bring up that
one. But,
you
know, it does bring up this.
I've always been mad that I didn't ask Justin Herbert if he ever brought it up that, you know, because Jeremiah is always around the Chargers, that he had Herbert like ranked 20th behind this guy.
That would be a fun question to ask.
Behind this guy, Ross Blacklock, who was like, I don't even know if he's in the league right now.
Here's my question for you. Do you think now, this may sound like a hot take and perhaps that's what it stands as and the hyperbole and whatever else. Can you make a case when, why is that quarterback playing so well? What's going on with Jared Goff, this big resurrection from this guy? I have long said, my lament, you may recall, I don't remember when it was, 8-10 years ago, that how is it possible in a world of 7 billion people, we can't find 32 people that can halfway decently play quarterback in pro football.
Yes,
I think it's largely been solved. QB saturation, injuries aside, the injuries happen, but there are 30 to 35 guys that you could throw in there. I suspect, though, they're like, how come that guy in the fourth round worked out when the first round, who everybody was in on? Agree or disagree? It's not the offensive line. It's not the pass catcher. Maybe it's not even the quarterback. The most valuable thing you can have on your team in 2023 is a heady offensive coordinator. Is Ben Johnson more valuable than any player on that Lions roster? Maybe. Kyle Shanahan? What's the voodoo? He can make Brock Purdy work, and people say, hey, can't knock Brock Purdy. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I can kind of take some shots at Brock Purdy when every other guy who's ever played for Kyle Shanahan is good too, right? I mean, you see what I'm getting at. Respond.
I guess I disagree because I still think that 8 to 10 quarterbacks that maybe transcend that are more valuable.
No, 8 to 10. 3 to 6 at tops.
Lamar, I would even,
Well, we've already seen Lamar can't do it if he's
Oh, no, Lamar, that's what I mean. He transcends it. I mean, how many of these coordinators make that big a difference? You might
the
be
good
right.
ones
I
make
you were
as big a difference
offensive.
As Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
Here's
make.
The thing. Tim Kelly is not one of those guys. Do you know who Tim Kelly is? He's the offensive coordinator and the play caller. Nobody knows who Tim Kelly is. But I can see right off the bat, Will Levis is a dude. And actually, you could see Ryan Tannehill when he got to Tennessee and kind of matured in his career. He was enough of a dude that the play action scheme they ran helped him look like statistically, EPA-wise, a top 5 quarterback in the league. No one believed that, but he was good enough. And so that to me is still more valuable than there's only so many of these great play callers. I don't know.
There are only so many of those QBs that are actual drivers who overcome mediocrity around them. Everybody else is sold as being that, but there are only, three, maybe, you could boil it down to Mahomes and Burrow. And Josh Allen is
you're crazy.
Howie Long called him a freak
Josh
show.
Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, whatever.
You could not just plug them into any team.
No, but if they're in a good system with a good enough coach, then they'll be a difference maker. I think the Titans have a chance. I'm not putting him there either. I think another problem people do is like all the people just assume after 2 games, we were right about Levis and you guys were wrong about Bryce Young or this or that. Let's give it a little bit of time. But he looks like a dude who's going to be around. I feel pretty confident after two weeks of that. And that's great news. I'm not giving up on this Titans team. Quietly, their offensive line has been better this year. They improved from catastrophically bad for the last 2 to 3 years. And I've been saying this year, if you watch the Titans game, they're actually just okay or maybe even slightly below average or maybe average. I don't know. But it's huge when you go from the worst in the league to okay. It gives you a chance to grow. Nuke is playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I like the way Derrick Henry ran. They're a receiver short. They're a little short. Their defense isn't quite good enough for a defensive-minded head coach, and they've put a lot of resources there. So they probably won't get it done, but their schedule is very easy, and they're the Titans. So I think they should feel encouraged, and I think they might be in the mix here by the end.
I think that's true, and that has a lot to do with the mediocrity around them. I mean, you think about the AFC North and all those games still upcoming between each other. Obviously, they're going to cannibalize each other, so that's going to knock them down. Who are you? I mean, the Jags are the team that legitimizes the South, potentially. They may end up with the number
Jags,
one seed.
Jags are a real
fact.
Team. Jags have
I agree.
A defense
I'm
and
not knocking them. I'm saying, yeah. But, you know, the Texans are fun. But are they definitely going to play out the rest of the season here and be a threat week in and week out? Maybe not. I bet there's a chance for the Titans, to your point, with an easy schedule to be a factor. We thought in August, I assume you would agree when you looked at the AFC, I said more hyperbole possibly from Dave, but I said I don't think in the Super Bowl era there has been as loaded a conference, top to bottom. I don't mean high-end teams. I mean 1 through 16 that you would look at and say, like, well, definitely that team and that you could cobble together a list of four teams that definitely weren't going to the playoffs. There were so many good teams that you thought had a chance, and now even 5-6 weeks, and you're like, that team is not nearly as good as I thought they were. And so based on the sea of mediocrity in which all these teams have ended up swimming in, I don't, you know, Steelers are fine. Browns may get in. You know, Chargers, I have a hunch. Well, this is a big one. Almost an elimination game in New York this weekend, right? Between Zach Wilson and Justin Herbert.
It's a little early for that. But
all right, well, you better get red hot after that if you're either one of those teams when you have to play the Bills and Dolphins again. Or if you're the Chargers, you still have the Chiefs, and, you know, the Broncos are playing a wee bit better.
Absolutely. The Titans are only a negative 12-point differential on the year. The Steelers are negative 30. The Titans, there's nothing better as a fan than feeling like, ooh, we might have a quarterback. I don't think the Steelers fans feel that way after tonight.
Do you so think, that, is
that
right?
That is one consolation for the Titans. They lost the game, but I feel, if I was a Titans fan, I would be, if I was Justin Graver, the old Gravedigger, I'd be very excited about the future, and maybe even this season they can make a
Gravedigger was a nice person. He's still alive. I don't know why
he's celebrating
about him in
the past. His Texas Rangers winning the World Series. He's over there working at Fox, and he's covering it live, sees his team win it live. It was like my first Super Bowl when I saw Randy Moss catch the game-winning touchdown with just over 2 minutes to go to cap off the first undefeated season in NFL history for the Patriots.
I want to talk about that.
Let's get back to that
in 1 second. The one thing I want to say to the Titans fans and any football fan, if the game didn't go your way on Thursday night, or even if you're a Steelers fan and feeling frustrated, because this is the way. You have to say, even after a loss, like, Dave, Matt Canada's no good. Dude, they got fired at Dave Tomlin. The standard ain't the standard no more. We don't win no playoff games no more. All that kind of stuff. But, we all just bore witness to history. 8-8. Kenny Pickett wore number 8 against Will Levis, number 8. Now, of course, not enough to replace the all-time greatest 8-quarterback versus 8-quarterback matchup, Aikman versus Steve Young. But this is still noteworthy. Maybe we'll look back on this one in a decade from now and say, you know what, it's time to amend the Aikman-Steve Young thing. You know, so we saw a little bit of history. But now, speaking of history, what do you think about the Patriots maybe trading Bill Belichick?
Ooh, to who?
You haven't heard that? That's the rumor this week, is that at the end of the season, they're going to trade him to the Washington Commies.
I mean,
what do you think?
That's where Lombardi ended his career. I hope that doesn't happen for Belichick.
Do you?
As far
Why?
As I remember, Lombardi
hope,
was mediocre, and then more or less, I got to check the facts. But I think he almost kind of died on the job, like he quit and like it wasn't going, you know, it wasn't going well. It was unceremonious. I wouldn't want to see that happen, but it's painful.
Good for you
to watch this.
I like that you're a man of loyalty and honor, and you wouldn't, because a lot, I'm sure you've heard, Patriots fans, they're not very happy at all about what's going on.
No.
I think the big winner, do you agree with this? The big winner of the last 3 years and this season for sure is Tom Brady, because now it's just been laid bare. The debate that went on for at least the last 15 years, like, who's more, do you think, Tom Brady or Belichick? Belichick or Tom Brady? It's pretty obvious that the guy left, went to play for Bruce Arians in Florida somewhere, got drunk in his mid-40s and won the Super Bowl while Bill Belichick scuffles along. Funny how I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad coach, and I certainly think that these people in New England saying, like, man, maybe it's time for the old man to move on. He gets as much rope as he wants. He delivered you all those Super Bowls. He writes his own ticket, right?
I'm with that. I agree, and I've never liked that argument. Of course, it's the player that matters more, but it's the combination, and they were a beautiful combination. And I do like Bomani Jones's take that, like, he did win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady's second year in the league when Tom Brady was like the 22nd best quarterback in the league, and I was like, that's a good point.
But then that goes back to where we started 20 or 30 minutes ago, that when your quarterback, when you find the guy and he's still on his rookie deal, now you're in the sweet spot. Do you know, the boss, that even in the age of Tom Brady, over the last, I forget what the number is, I think it's since the start of the millennium, if I counted this right, I'm not a numbers guy, but I think I counted this right. I think it's 49 or 51% of all Super Bowl starting QBs were on their rookie deals over in the last 23, 24 Super Bowls. I mean, that's in the age of Brady, when he was going to Super Bowls in his 15th year and whatever. So that's going to offset skew those numbers in favor of the vets anyway. And despite that, half the QBs, it's inarguable that that's where you want to be, obviously. The trick is to actually have the guy and not try to delude yourself into thinking because you used a first-round pick on him, we got to make him work. It's year four. We're sticking with it.
I mean, okay. There's Matthew Stafford just won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes just won the Super Bowl. I don't know. You can't tell me it's a disadvantage to have like one of the best quarterbacks in the league, no matter what you're paying him. Jalen Hurts didn't win it last year, but he played well enough. You just need a great quarterback.
Okay, I'm trying to work. Why can't you?
And by
work
the way, Vince Lombardi, God rest his soul, one of the greatest ever, maybe the greatest.
Oh, I have another hot take. I haven't talked to you in a while.
He had that whole run with the Packers. He was emotionally exhausted. He sat out 1 year. He couldn't stay on the sideline. So he went to Washington, and he went 7-5-2.
Look who knows his history. Good for you, boss. I'm checking it.
He went to Washington, went 7-5-2. Well, the part that I was checking on, unfortunately, was the circumstances surrounding his death. And I believe he only coached that 1 year and had to step down because he got cancer and he did pass away.
But he was. That's but not people think to he Belichick, just. But,
yeah.
He just he walked off the field at the Orange Bowl after Super Bowl II after vanquishing Daryl LaMonica and company and went off into the sunset. In fact, as you point out, yes, people don't know that extra chapter of his coaching life. You know what? While we're talking about Washington, I have one more hot take I want to tell you real quick.
We're proving hands is so right. We're at 44
minutes. That's what
minutes.
I want to do. Okay. That's what I want to do.
I'm having a good time. I hope
we're going till dawn.
Too.
We're settling, man. We got like 6-8 hours to go till sun up. Now listen, dig this. Here's my big one. Belichick, who is he the best? Don Shula, overrated. Our pal Handsome Hank Hodgson will agree with that. The diehard Dolphins fan. Boy, what a wonder.
Well, I'm not accepting this as a premise. He's not overrated.
Yeah, he is. Let me tell you why. He makes the paradigm shift from we're a run team, it's Zonka and Mercury Morris and Jim Kick and Bob Greasy is the most fraudulent.
Oh, Shula's overrated.
Shula. The most fraudulent Hall of Famer that exists. And when people like, Eli Manning better not get into the Hall of Fame, and so on, whenever people summon names like, Bob Greasy's in the Hall of Fame. He threw 5 passes in a playoff game. And what are we talking about? I think he threw 4 passes in a full playoff game once. Talk about a passenger. Anyhow, he had Marino for all those years, got to 1 Super Bowl with him because he blew the personnel side of it. But anyway, Bill Walsh is the real deal. You know who's the best Super Bowl coach? Joe Gibbs. That's who. He's the only one who did it with non-Hall of Famers, and he did it 3 times.
Yeah.
That's amazing, right?
And then he went to a completely different sport that most of the football populace doesn't care about, but built a dominant franchise, as dominant in that entirely different sport, which to me, I'm no NASCAR expert. My son likes it. And it's like that. I think that just proves what a great coach he is. Anyone that could possibly have pulled that off and then done it in another sport, it's like, it's unbelievable.
Isn't it crazy? The week that Bob Knight passes away, I knew this and I'd forgotten it, but it was brought up in all the memorials too. Bob Knight. But Bill Parcells was on Bob Knight's Army basketball coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild, right? But, you know, Bo Jackson, I mean, Joe Gibbs is Bo Jackson of coaching, to your point, right? I mean, he left the highest level of football and went over and did stock car racing and then took that over, too. That's amazing.
He did.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippon and with Doug Williams and with Joe Theismann. Three times he did that. Four Super Bowls in what was that, 9-10 years? Remarkable.
He
in
did
a loaded
also
NFC.
Return, you know, to the Washington team and go to the playoffs, I believe, with Mark Brunell. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
But I do remember that. You're right. Good for you. I thought that you picked up on football around like 2002. But good for
well,
you.
That,
look
well, that is. That's past that. I was always a fan, but it wasn't my job. Now we get paid to just honk and make my family yell at me for being too loud late at
now
night.
Now it's time to keep it down for the next 7.5 hours. We're gonna whisper because it's nighttime now.
Dave Damashek is the host of the Minus Three podcast. They've got a fun little like 15-minute pregame at 4 p.m. on Fridays. What is that? You got the extra points. It's part of the extra points. You got a lot cooking over there. You got our old friend from NFL Media, Eddie Spaghetti, with you. It's a lot of
Yeah, he's friends. Eddie Spaghetti is in his usual spot behind the glass, chiming in as he's wont to do. And Kevin Hench, very funny, deeply knowledgeable sports fan, big comedy writer and all that. But diehard Boston sports fan. My Patriots based opinions have been are well worn. If you listen to Minus Three, I'm throwing some of those at you. But yeah, listen. With all due respect,
most of your opinions eventually become well worn. The good ones. You got to reuse them. That's right. You know, your old friend Emma would always point that out. It was from her favorite times of the year when you'd bring out the old.
That's right. Most overused bits, I think she called it. All right, listen, I have three or four thoughts in my head, and I've leaned on them for the last three decades. It's worked out halfway decently. But yes, it occurs to me, or it did occur to me over summer, I don't know who decided that pregame shows needed to be more than a half hour. And then they went to an hour. And then they went to 3 hours and the 4 hours. And now they're all about like, and I like the feel good story. You know, you know me, Dave, one of the great empaths of society. I like to hear people's nice stories and their journeys about like, he may be a superstar now, but he was born without a head. And then, you know, like you hear those stories and they feel good and the nice music. I love them. I just don't need them right before the game. Tell me those on Tuesdays or Wednesdays before the game. Just tell me who's going to win by how much, who's going to have a good game. We do it all in 15 minutes. Then you can get out the door and live your life. 15 minutes, the Minus Three pregame show. It's a breeze. Lots of fun. It's a little bit, if you're old school enough, it's a little bit like the Shame Report projecting ahead for the week over 15 minutes. Good times.
I did love the Shame Report, and I like that idea that it's quick. We don't need all the time. I mean, I'm glad that the pregame shows are keeping a lot of our friends and
Know,
this industry
I'm
employed.
Happy for
that's
that.
Fine, but I'm with you. I need it to be short for newer listeners of the show, and I find more and more it's crazy. You know, of course it happens. Listeners drop off, new listeners come on. I've been told by many listeners like they started listening after Wes was on the show. Like, of course, we have plenty of new listeners. It's been a few years. That sort of blows my mind, but we love hearing about him and learning, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, so people might not know, you know, that the very first iteration was the ATL Debate Club, Mark Sessler, Dan Hansis on the back of the Dave Damashek football
the
program.
Flames.
They
That's
were
what
the
we
Flames.
Call them, because they break out the flamethrowers. The Flames would make the scene. Flame so, on, you know?
So we owe a debt to Dave, but not just for that, just for his friendship and helping the whole thing go at the NFL and now over with the Minus Three podcast. It's been a pleasure. It's been a thin slice of heaven, Dave Damashek.
All right. I guess we'll do this in parts, but we are going to do 10 hours worth of podcast.
We can just keep talking after, but this is the time to hit the music, Randy. Let's go. For
Dave
Damashek.
Still talk more, Randy. You better get in soon or else I'm going to start going.
It's been fun. Titans Steelers, they gave us a good game. They gave us a lot to talk about. Dan was right. We're always going to find a lot to talk about. Until
Sunday.
Let's
get 7-3 and get them brownies.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.